this is Jean Carriger, president of Capstone Marketing. I am delighted to be talking today with Jennifer Wilson, co-founder and partner of Convergence Coaching, who was named the 2013 Association for Accounting Marketing's Volunteer of the Year. Jennifer is an experienced change agent who has worked in both the public accounting and business sectors. She is a frequent speaker, writer, and blogger on leadership and communication within the CPA profession. And Jennifer serves on the serves as the chair of AIMS Education Committee. Jennifer, congratulations on being named AIMS Volunteer of the Year.
Thank you, Jean. I really appreciate it. It was quite an honor and a surprise.
I guess it was such a surprise because I recall that you weren't in the room when they announced your name.
That's right. I was at an AICPA thought leader dinner, and they had asked me to come to talk about something related to the Education Committee at 9, and they gave my award at 5 to 9. So sure enough, I wasn't there. And when I did arrive, they promptly put me up there and had me say a few words, so I felt very appreciated.
I remember that. It just reminds me, wasn't there an actress who won an Emmy or an Academy Award or something and who found herself in the bathroom as they announced her name?
Well,
so,
as long as
at least this wasn't quite the same.
No, as long as she didn't have her mic on, right?
Yes.
You know, which is every speaker's worst fear. So it was embarrassing, I have to admit it, but it was a real surprise and a great honor. I've appreciated working with AIM. It's a great organization.
It is a great organization. I think both of us have the same view on that.
Yep.
So Jennifer, you've been in the profession, you know, for a while. And you, as I mentioned, you know, you do speak and write and blog on leadership and communication and marketing. What do you find is the greatest challenge in marketing CPA firms?
Well, it's a multi-layered challenge. I want to tell you that it's three things, but they really are completely integrated. The first is, I think that overall, most CPA firms are run by CPAs, and most CPAs did not go to school for marketing or sales, and they don't have the acumen or the understanding of all the nuanced elements of the distinctions and differences between marketing and sales, but also how important each piece of marketing, for instance, branding and lead generation and personal marketing and, you know, corporate versus personal and those kinds of things. They don't have those distinctions initially. And so I think that's a challenge to marketing CPA firms because the CPAs running them have to learn those things from experienced marketers and business developers to really develop the right strategies.
Mm-hmm.
The second big challenge, which is somewhat tied to this, is that I don't think that all CPA firms are run strategically. They don't all have a clear five-year vision. They don't have a strategic plan with key initiatives and focal points for the coming 12 months that tie to the vision. Instead, they're running pretty tactically, pretty organically. Ideas are generated kind of at the service line level or the partner level or the client level even, and firms kind of run ahead with those ideas, but they don't necessarily fit directly into a clear strategy. And as a result, as a marketer, it can be challenging to figure out what do I highlight, what do I focus on, what when there's a lot of things I should be doing, which are the ones that are most important and strategic to our vision. I think when that's missing, it's just hard to figure that out. And then the third piece is that there's a fallacy in public accounting that all partners, all managers, all CPAs should sort of all own and be responsible for and capable of marketing and selling. And when everybody owns something, nobody owns it. So when I say all partners should do it, when the partners that don't have the skills, don't have the interest, don't have the God-given competencies to market or sell, when they don't do it, it sort of lets everyone off the hook from doing it. People do it to the degree they feel like doing it or are called to do it or that they like it. And as a result, we don't necessarily have the same kind of support and impact for marketing and sales initiatives that we could have if we found those with the gifts and interest in marketing and selling and focused our energies as marketers on them and helping them develop business for the firm. And I think those three things are just enormous challenges, and they're all really tied to understanding, communication, and strategy.
Right. So let me ask you a couple of follow-ups.
Sure, yeah.
Because you had mentioned, and I agree totally, that, you know, most firms don't have a vision, they don't have a strategic plan, and, you know, if they even have a marketer, they're kind of floundering in what the priority should be. Why do you think so many firms operate without this vision and strategic plan?
Well, I don't think they intend to. I don't think that they would like to admit that they do. I think that they, again, some part of that lack of strategy is a lack of understanding about how to develop it. It's a lack of unity, the feeling that, you know, gosh, when we get into a room with leaders in this firm and talk about strategy and direction, there are differing opinions, and maybe I don't know how to unify those. Maybe I don't have the strength of leadership or the confidence in my ability to assert decisions. So talking about it just leads to sort of dissent maybe, and then a little bit of everybody leaves and does whatever they want. So sometimes there's a lack of that strength of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And willingness to assert decisions inside firms so they don't engage in a strategic discussion because they know it will lead to that kind of natural conflict that needs to be resolved by leadership. And then I think another piece of it is just, you know, the reality that many of us face, and that's we're so busy working, David Maister's line, we're so busy working in the business that we're not working on the business. And in a lot of small to mid-sized firms, there's no dedicated management. Managing partner may have a book of business and be very actively serving it in addition to managing the business. They may have an office manager or firm administrator, but they may be up to their eyeballs in systems issues and HR management, things like that. And so there's nobody really actively working on the proactive pieces of strategy that are working on the business.
Mm-hmm. And you had also mentioned that a firm would be better off working their marketing program with the people who are interested and talented in it. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, I think probably have the gift and the interest or something like that. And yeah,
So are those people, are they rewarded differently? Are they compensated differently? Or is that just how they're expected to participate within the firm?
Well, great question. Sort of hitting the nail on the head. Because to go back to the beginning of our conversation, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of CPAs do not have the acumen, the knowledge, the experience, understanding, or the gifts of marketing and selling, it is really a rare bird that is capable of sourcing opportunities for a firm, developing markets, building niches, creating practices, selling engagements. That's not the everyday CPA.
Mm-hmm.
And because they are rare, I like to call them the unicorns, especially the sourcers. Those that can source opportunities that build a brand identity and a network that causes business to come to the firm. Those that can do that, they are so rare that firms have to pay them the most.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, the sourcers and the true rainmakers inside CPA firms should be the highest paid people, higher paid even than the managing partner, unless that person is a sourcer. So, I do think that it ties to compensation. I also think that if you've got really great sourcers, that they should be encouraged not to serve clients or not to serve many, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a great sourcer is compensated and their worth is measured and their pats on the back come from their book of business served, the clients they are responsible for managing, they will source and sell until they're full of service opportunities, and then they will quit. And that unicorn turns into a horse or a donkey, just like everybody else, and there's no more special magic happening on the growth side. And I see this happen all the time in firms where their growth is stalled. They get to a certain level, and then they just get sort of flattened out, and they're wondering, why can't we make any traction here? And it's because they're sourcers. The small handful of sourcers are all so full of work and managing the people under them that are doing that work that they can no longer really actively develop business. So in my fantasy land, and in CPA firms that I really feel like get it, they figure out how to incent those people to hand off that work, to not even go in and sell it, to hand it to people who can sell in the firm, or to team sell, bring in client service people to the selling process, and to hand it off and not to serve it themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, especially because it's interesting with the different studies with the AICPA and PCPS about the top issues and, you know, marketing's back there again of, you know, obtaining new business. So, and that kind of ebbs and flows, you know, depending upon, you know, the economy and the state of the industry. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, that and the ebb and the flow is we either need clients or we need people. Those are kind of the two pendulum swings in the profession. And the attraction mechanism of the unicorn often attracts both clients and people. So that person's gifts can be used for both.
Right.
And should be.
Right. Great point. Jennifer, what are the biggest changes that you've noticed in accounting marketing over the past 10 years?
Well, I mean, digital, I can't, you know, it's almost a tactical thing to say, but it's such a game changer, I can't step over it. Social media, you know, the move to printable PDFs, the importance of the web and websites and blogs and just the whole immediacy of communication and honestly, the personalization of firms because of it, the ability to really feel a firm's culture via their web presence, via the social media, via their, you know, their direct interaction and interplay with their communities. So I think digital has been huge, and we're just probably tipping, you know, scraping the very top of that iceberg right now, and I'm sure it's going to have dramatic effects for the next decade. Did you want to ask?
No, you're just kind of leading into the follow-up, you know, of your prediction for accounting marketing, let's say, for the next 5 years. So obviously social media and all this, this is not a fluke. This is something that's going to stick around and even grow in the ways that we could use it.
For sure. I mean, you know, I tell people all the time that social media is as big a communication revolution as email was 25 years ago. I mean, it's a game changer in the way we reach people. And you can see that now. I'll be teaching a web seminar on social media, and I'll go out on LinkedIn and put in my status, I'm teaching a web seminar. and while I'm typing it, the minute I hit return, somebody hits like and somebody else writes a comment. And if I sent that out in an email to my contacts list, they would not respond immediately. Period. I would get no immediate reply. My ability to break through the clutter and reach people with social media is dramatically better than it is via our traditional communication mechanisms. And marketers are always trying to find a way to break through clutter. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it won't last because it will become the clutter and we'll have to find something else. So I don't think the current forms we see it in will you know, be what we're using 3, 4, 5 years from now. But I think that the concepts behind it will be there. And the integration social media prediction I would make is social media in some way is going to obsolete CRM, and or CRM is going to become social media. There's going to be some kind of merger between those two conceptual frameworks, because for me, you know, one of the most exciting things about a LinkedIn, let's say, or a Facebook, is that I now, when I connect with people via those online mediums, I don't have to be as concerned that I will lose reach with them should they move, should they change companies, should they change phone numbers or area codes or physical mailing addresses or their last name changes or any of that stuff. I don't have to worry that that I won't know that, because they'll update their social media profile and I will, you know, retain my connection with them. Whereas my CRM database, if I don't find out that you changed, mm-hmm. you know, moved to San Diego, then I don't get it updated right. Next time I send out a holiday card, I send it to the wrong location.
Right.
And we lose touch. So
right.
I think that that's the CRM guys have something to deal with there. Because so far I haven't seen anybody on the CRM side really, you know, other than integration with a LinkedIn, figure out how to captivate the social media elements into their technology.
Right, right.
So
I would agree with that too. There's
yeah.
And there's a huge opportunity to do that for the company who takes that on.
Right. The other thing I want to go back just a second, and I hate to backtrack. You're supposed to be guiding this, but I want to say that another big game changer in the last decade for public accounting is what I would call the broad-based acceptance of the need to hire a marketer.
Okay.
I just need to get that out because, you know, a decade ago, to tell a CPA firm that they needed to hire a marketer, I mean, top 100 firms, they knew a decade ago, or maybe top 200 firms. I don't know, maybe top 150. I think that more and more small to mid-sized firms recognize that that is such a unique set of competencies and that it is no longer the thing you do when you get to a certain size. It's the thing you do to get to a certain size. And I think that's a huge mind shift. And
I'm surprised at the top 100 or maybe top 150 firms who still don't get it.
Yeah.
And don't have the right marketing or sales personnel. And that can be a bit frustrating because you'd think by this time they would have it a bit more together, especially with the talent that's out there. Because, you know, unlike 10 years ago, there are a lot of very talented, successful accounting marketers with experience.
But the real talented, experienced ones also have, in my opinion, to make a move or to take a job today, they understand how distinct cultures can be.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't probably want a job in a CPA firm that isn't building a culture of unity, that doesn't have a vision, that isn't willing to take risk, isn't forward-thinking. So part of those firms that you're talking about that don't get it, they're the ones that least attract a great marketer because the great marketer already, you know, busted their noggin on the firm that they're with
mm-hmm.
to help, you know, bring that along, and they know how hard it is.
Right.
And they probably don't want to go back to that place where marketing isn't valued. The other thing is, you know, Gene, and this is, you know, this is all a big combined discussion here. I don't think firms understand that marketing isn't promotion. I don't think anybody understands this, not just CPA firms. I just think that a lot of people, when they think about marketing, they go right into promotion. They think advertising, they think direct mail, they think golf balls, they think sponsorships, social media maybe, they think that. But that's all promotional stuff, communications and promotional elements, and that's just one aspect. I don't think a lot of firms understand that marketing is what's our positioning, how do we want to be perceived and known, what do we want to be known for, what's our product service mix, who do we serve and what do we offer, and how do we price. Those are marketing elements that are really at the core essence of who a firm is or what it is. And, you know, it goes to strategy again, but I think that those firms that don't get it, they don't allow the marketers to have involvement in those key strategic decisions or even influence or facilitate those decisions being made. So they relegate the marketer to a promoter and sometimes an administrative promoter, like order the golf balls marketer. And, you know, you and I both know that that doesn't attract the best talent.
You're exactly right. And I think it gets back to a point you mentioned earlier about education
Yeah. And
really educating CPAs on what marketing is and what it can be for their firms, because it is all those things that you just said.
Yes.
But I find that, you know, we work in an area with a lot of smart people. You know, these CPA firm partners are really smart.
I agree.
And sometimes that causes them to think that they know a bit more about some things than they actually do. And that just adds to this marketing challenge.
Well, and I, you know, my experience is that I think smart people might not think they know more, but they sometimes might be afraid to admit what they don't know.
That's another spin.
I experienced that and have for the last 5 years with social media. It probably the first year that I was really engaged with LinkedIn, I went to every CEO and managing partner that I have worked with, every client we have, and I said to them, I need to show you something privately over the web by yourself with no one else present to explain it to you. And it's something that initially you're not going to think is important. But when I show it to you, you will understand. And then I want to then have us bring your marketer into the conversation or then bring other partners in. But I went to the CEO or managing partner because they would say, I've heard of that, or that's a time waster, or I hear people just post about food there or places they visited. You know, they were confusing with Facebook and the kind of the jokes about Twitter and stuff, and they did not understand what the platforms do. And so I would privately show them, and that was about me helping educate but not forcing an admission in front of
right.
their people or
mm-hmm.
causing them to, you know, because sometimes we resist what we don't understand or know, not because we are, you know, too arrogant and think we know it, but because we're afraid that by, you know, jumping into it, our lack of experience will somehow diminish our strength or something.
Right, right.
And I think when you get to the highest levels in a firm, that's that, you know, inadequacy feeling, it's hard for them to be comfortable expressing.
Right, right. So we've talked a bit about marketers and the challenges that marketers have within CPA firms. What are the skills or the factors that enable accounting marketers to be successful?
Well, I think they need to be strategic. I think they need to understand the accounting firm and the accounting profession. And that takes a while if you're coming from another profession or you're coming out of school, because this profession is special, unique, and different. And the personality of the players is different than in most corporate environments, and the entire business is very different. Who we serve, what we deliver, what we offer, the value that's possible, the service offerings, the terminology. You might call that fundamental or the basics, but I think a lot of marketers make the mistake of not learning those things and then still trying to drive change in a firm with their ideas without the credibility of understanding what it is that their firm sells and to whom and what the mm-hmm. inhibitors are and things like that. So I think that's real important. Obviously, the marketer has to be an excellent communicator. They have to be able to sell their ideas internally, sell change. I think that they need to understand differentiation, because most CPA firms really struggle with what makes us unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if I don't understand the profession and I don't understand what my firm does and I don't understand differentiation, I can spend millions on promotion, but it won't be effective. So, I've really got to have those elements in place.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, you know, today, if a firm were hiring a marketer and they were saying, Jen, you know, what are some must-haves, I'd say I wouldn't hire a strategist, a marketing director or marketing, CMO or a VP of marketing or any of those higher-level roles that did not understand and have a background in managing digital mediums. They don't have to be the social media poster per se, but by golly, they need to understand the different social media planning and management techniques that are out there and have had experience. I'd go out and look and see, you know, what kind of profiles they've developed and what sort of digital presence that they have managed or built for
mm-hmm.
prior employers, because I think it's a critical success factor.
Right. Wonderful. Which of your personal skills has contributed most to your success?
I am strategic, so I do think big picture. I'm capable of thinking tactically and getting in there on implementation, but I always pull back in the view of whatever conversation I'm having and say, let's talk about the big picture. What are we trying to get done here? So I think that being strategic helps. It helps me advise my clients strategically or have them think strategically. I am intuitive, and intuition often gives rise to the ability to envision the future. And so I am willing to guess about what I think is going to happen. I'm unafraid of that. I feel like I sometimes see it. I can just feel what's going to happen. And so I can help guide my firm and my clients to prepare them for what's coming instead of just operate on what's here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think communication is probably my third blessing, that I have the ability to communicate verbally, but I also can write. I have to write. That's how I process my concerns and fears about the profession, is by writing about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's sometimes how I generate solutions to those concerns, by starting to write about, hey, everybody, I'm worried about this, or hey, are you thinking about that?
Mm-hmm.
Then I can stop and get some ideas for what could we do about this. So I think those are some things that have helped me be successful.
Right. Fabulous. What is your best piece of advice for accounting marketers?
Don't become too attached. Be consultative. Be a trusted advisor to your firm. Take risks in expressing what you believe the firm should do. Obviously, be tactful and come from care and concern and be well-meaning, but don't get so attached to the politics of your environment or the approval or the programs you've built in the past or the way it used to be or all that stuff, that you aren't able to help the firm to see what it needs to do to change. Marketing is about driving the firm forward into the market of today and the market of tomorrow. And that always means driving the firm forward and change. Unfortunately, some of us get employed in a place and we start getting kind of attached, politically attached, and also attached to all the stuff we built over the course of our tenure. And we're not able to drive change because we start getting strange in defending the stuff we built. So I think be more consultative and less attached. It also helps the marketer be less emotional or frustrated when the firm isn't changing as fast as they want it to, if they're not attached.
That's an interesting way that you describe that, because I haven't heard it described that way before, about being attached. Could you just give us another thought on that? Because I think I get it, but I want to make sure about the point that you're making.
It's a little bit like, I go into a meeting to facilitate with the firm some strategic planning decisions that need to be made. While we're in there, we're trying to decide what the top priorities should be, and there's a niche that I've been working with a partner on for a decade building. We built it from scratch together. And I, built all the collateral, and I helped do the target account selling and the proposals and closed the business. And I'm very proud of it, and I love that niche. And we're in there trying to facilitate a discussion of where should we head as a firm. And there's some question as to whether we should continue that or whether it should be backburnered or deprioritized. And instead of really stopping and saying, if I were an external consultant, what advice would I give this firm? Instead, I come from this emotional attachment to this stuff I built, and I try to argue why we should keep at it or something, and I'm unable to step away and give the firm the kind of advice it needs. And I see this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So that attachment could basically blind you to making the best recommendations for the firm.
Right. And it's attachment to things like that program or that service line or that website I built or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The CRM
mm-hmm.
system I put in, darn it. You know, whatever it is, right?
Uh-huh.
It's that stuff, attachment to things, but it's also sometimes attachment to people or attachment
mm-hmm.
to the politics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes, you know, I stop telling the firm what I think we need to do because I'm afraid that you won't love me anymore if I say it. Or I'm afraid that I won't get a good bonus if I actually express this contrary opinion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my biggest blessing of the last 14 years that I've had this business is that I have the gift of detachment as a consultant. And I get to come in fresh and look at a firm without all that, you know, past-based stuff to weigh me down in my advice to the firm. And I think sometimes internal advisors, and this happens in HR too, and in the firm administrator and operations and IT and all over the place, sometimes we just lose sight of the real picture of the firm because we've just gotten too close. It's kind of, I can't see the forest because I'm attached to the tree.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
for an internal marketer, they need to be brave enough to not get attached.
Yeah, and just remember it. Just ask themselves, why am I getting frustrated? Why is my heart pounding? Why is my mouth dry? Why do I feel threatened? Why am I feeling upset? Almost always, those feelings are some form of attachment to something that's under attack, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, whatever that is, needs a real healthy second fresh look, a step
right.
back from this thing.
Right.
And what am I protecting here? And is this the right thing for the firm? If I were an outside advisor, what would I advise? That's the question I tell marketers to ask themselves when they feel that way.
Mm, that's excellent advice. So what's the best piece of advice you have for a managing partner?
Related to marketing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just wanted to make sure to narrow that down. I think hire great people and listen to them. Be willing to listen and learn, always. And be humble enough to admit when you don't understand
mm-hmm.
and seek an understanding. I think that's probably it. Just, you know, hire great people and listen to them.
Right, right. Yep. I wholeheartedly agree there. Well, we've been talking today with Jennifer Wilson, co-founder and partner of Convergence Coaching LLC, who was named the 2013 Association for Accounting Marketing's Volunteer of the Year. Jennifer, congratulations again, and thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Jean. I really appreciate being invited today. Thanks for the conversation. I enjoyed it.